In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
But the wall is nailed to
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair, deliver your sons and daughters from fear, and preserve us in faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from 1 Kings. At Horeb, the mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I am alone and left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehola, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have now not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. A reading from Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that come from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart.' That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, 'No one who believes in him will be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Praise to you,
Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our family just got back from a cruise last week, and I feel this gospel lesson is a reminder of how it's important to stay on the ship, right? Don't get off the ship. We were going through those safety protocols, and I don't believe anybody on the cruise ship would argue with the importance of staying on the ship while that boat is traveling. And as we reflect on this gospel lesson today, I think there's been a tendency to look at it in focusing on Peter more than on Jesus. And as human beings, we certainly have our legitimate reasons to be afraid. But time and time again, Jesus overcomes those storms. Sadly, I believe the church has made people feel bad if they seem to have little faith. But Jesus doesn't. Doubt is part of a life of faith, and our little faith is overcome by Jesus' faithfulness all the way to the cross. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus calls us out on our faithlessness and points to God's faithfulness. He says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith." In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus stills the storm. There's another story. If it sounds familiar, there's another story of them in a boat. He's in there with them, and there's a storm. And the disciples cried out to be saved, and Jesus said, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. In our gospel lesson today, Matthew chapter 14, Jesus reaches out, grabs a hold of Peter, and says to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus talks about what the faith the size of a mustard seed can do. He says, "You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And I believe it's throughout Matthew's gospel, you find Jesus calling out the disciples for having little faith or no faith. And what I find interesting is that the people that Jesus commends for having great faith are outsiders. They're not on the inside. And we see faith and doubt in this tension all the way through Matthew's gospel to the Great Commission when the disciples are encountering the resurrected Christ, and it says that they worshiped and doubted. And when we see Jesus calming the storms and walking on water, there is a theological understanding that Jesus is Lord of creation, that Jesus is divine, which is why we read of the disciples worshiping him. But our gospel lesson today is also a reminder that we need to stay in our lane.
We are not God. We're not the ones who are supposed to be walking on water. We don't do what Jesus is to do. Mark Vitalis Hoffman writes about this gospel lesson. First, it's an enactment of the truth that we're not intended to walk on water. And if we try, we will find ourselves in deep over our heads and unable to save ourselves. The second lesson that we get is Peter does rightly know what we all need to do when caught in situations like this and sinking like a rock. Lord, save me. Both in Matthew chapter 8 and this account in chapter 14, Jesus ends up being in the boat with the disciples. I think it calls to mind, again, a theme in Matthew, our Emmanuel, God who is with us. Jesus is with them. Jesus is with us when we are weathering the storms of life and all the world can bring to us. And the ship, the boat, has served as a symbol for Christianity and the church in particular. And this symbol is a statement on our mission as the church to be a safe place as people navigate through the troubles of their lives. But I believe in our context, we have too often lost sight of what that symbol means, of what that symbol is supposed to convey to both the church and the world. If the church is a ship, then it's not something that's static. It doesn't stay in one place. But throughout North America, we have grown accustomed as churches to be static, to stay in one place, expecting people to come to us, and quite frankly, wanting particular people to come to us. Not as much interested in being a place of safety and a place to minister to people, all people in times of hardship, but wanting particular people to come. But lifting up some of the tangible things that we do here in our congregation, we bring Holy Communion to our homebound. When our Stephen ministers visit their care receivers, when our Bountiful Backpack meals get to the families that need them, when our community meals are delivered, when our community meals are received, when people come in to our fellowship hall and eat those meals, breaking bread with other people, when we have funeral dinners, those all serve examples of how the church is seeking to minister to people in times of adversity and offering ourselves as a safe place where one can be served and flourish, because the church is the people. But we lose sight when we don't stay in our lane. Not so much focused on worshiping the one who walks on water and calms the storms, the one who's Lord over all creation. We lose sight when it becomes about getting people just to come to be part of us and not joined to the one whose faithfulness will overcome each storm that we encounter in this world. We lose sight when we measure ministry in terms of worldly success and not faithfulness, in terms of the numbers of bodies that show up and not the quality of lives that are being enriched through the sharing of the love of Jesus. I love in the Romans text that we hear today, it's a line from Isaiah, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." It's often read at ordination services. That we are to embody what we receive. We are to model the way of Jesus in the world. And we're supposed to be transformed by this love. This isn't just something that we do and we forget about once we hit the parking lot. We are transformed by this relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. This is why in Romans 2 that the word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. There's this kind of strange thing that I do with the gospel lesson, that I make the sign of the cross on my forehead, that it would be on my mind, that I profess it with my lips and receive it in my heart. You may see some Christians do that. But it's a reminder that this needs to transform us, that we are to embody and embrace it in the world. And even if we're going to focus on Peter in this gospel lesson, what does he end up doing if we're focused on Peter? He points us to Jesus. Who helps him out in the end? It's Jesus, right? Jesus gets them out of the jam. And immediately following the passage that we just read, verses 34 and 36, because where are they going? That's an important thing to us to think about too. Where are the disciples traveling to? Where is Jesus sending them on this boat? In verses 34 and 36, it says, when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. After the people of that place recognized him, they sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Ships do not stay in one place. They're going somewhere. As the church, as the body of Christ, we're always on the move with Jesus, not staying in one place. Jesus and the disciples were crossing the sea to minister to people, that they would be alleviated from their pain and suffering. Peter, you and me, we're not meant to walk on water. We're reminded to leave the God stuff to God. And that our role and mission as church is to be the ones that share the love of Jesus in word and deed, to minister to the sick and suffering, to comfort the grieving, to feed the hungry, and to love all people as Christ loves us. Earlier I mentioned how we can judge people for not having faith or lacking faith, having enough of it, even though it's part of the faith journey. And how our congregations in this country can tend to want certain people in the pews and will alienate those who we don't want here. And I came across this quote from Pope Francis. The Roman Catholic Church just had World Youth Day. And I think every Christian should take these words to heart. He said, "The only time it is legitimate to look down on someone from above is to help them get up." The only time it is legitimate to look down on someone from above is to help them get up. Jesus continues to be faithful even when we're not. If you're Peter and you're sinking, you're looking up on Jesus and he's looking down on you and he's helping you up. And quite frankly, Peter continues to fall, right? Right? If we follow the story all the way to Good Friday, Peter continues to screw up, right? And Jesus keeps coming back and lifting him up, not holding it against him, not holding anything against us. When we are lifted up, when our sins are forgiven, when we receive the body and blood of Christ, he keeps lifting us up to new life, desiring to be in communion with us, desiring to remind us of God's presence and salvation that is always with us. So we must extend that grace to each other in this world. And if we take that wisdom from Pope Francis to heart, then our hearts are going to be more open to serving more people as the church. And we will continue to live in that ship that is the church, that is always on the move, seeking to walk with those who are looking for a place to weather the storm in their lives and in this world. The salvation that Peter and disciples experienced in our gospel lesson is in the moment. The salvation that the sick received at Gennesaret is in the moment. And in the salvation that Jesus offers to us, it comes to us now. And by the faithfulness of Christ, salvation will endure forever. Let us continue to be on the move with Jesus, who by his eternal loving faithfulness lifts us up from our sinking fears and faithlessness to eternal love and life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of grace and faith, your faithfulness is never ending, and your righteousness becomes ours through Jesus Christ. Send the church to proclaim the gospel both near and far, in church buildings and on street corners, in person and through digital means. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of sky and sea, the plants, animals, mountains, and plains, proclaim your glory. Prosper the work of ecologists as they teach us new ways to care for the environment. Bring relief to areas recovering from natural disasters. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of peace and justice, you call us to live as your beloved community throughout the world. Instill in local, regional, national, and global political and civic leaders a desire to work for the well-being of all people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of care and compassion, you bring assurance when we are afraid. Bring calm to any who are anxious or fearful. Bless the work of therapists, nurses, and other health care providers. Comfort all who grieve and soothe any who are sick, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Susie, Scott, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Scott, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Donna, Melina, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, Bill, John, Mary, Diane, Vanessa, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of wonder, you accompany us in both joys and sorrows. We pray for children and teachers preparing for a new school year. Make your presence known in our work and play, in lively conversation, and in quiet rest. Hear us, O God. God of new life, you send people to renew both church and society. We give you thanks for their lives of faithful service, especially nursing pioneers Florence Nightingale and Clara Massis, whom the church remembers today, as examples of following your call. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ our Savior. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos. You encircled the globe with air. You created fire for warmth and light. You nourished the lands with water. You molded us in your image. And with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own. That also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit. You called to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen.
Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us and this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire nourishes us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world.
Amen.
Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing until needy no longer and bound to you in love, we feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb. Through him all glory and honor is yours, O God, O living one, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
Thank you.
serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.